You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, a guest tries to get to the bottom of why we as humans underprepare for disasters and what we can do about it.
Right now, the steel and plastic drums that house various chemicals may not be at the forefront of most people's minds. But a new investigation from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel found that these barrels can pose a danger.
In a news series, the Journal Sentinel looked at the industry that recycles those barrels and the chemical hazards they present for workers, the environment, and surrounding communities.
Raquel Rutledge joins us now. She's a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She co-wrote the series titled Burned. Raquel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for your interest in the story.
So this is an industry I think most people probably haven't thought of. There's these barrels that carry, that hold all kinds of different chemicals, 55-gallon drums a lot of the time. And then there's this industry that refurbishes them so they can be used again. What kind of chemicals are in these barrels?
Well, everything you can imagine, everything known to man. There's tens of thousands of chemical compounds that come through, and that ported across the country in these drums, and the recycling and refurbishing industry is booming these days. 27 million barrels are reconditioned every single year, and so that presents a hazard to the people that are actually doing the work, and then those in the surrounding neighborhoods.
And this is an industry around the country and in the Milwaukee area. Can you talk about the kinds of businesses there are there?
Sure. Well, there's three that are around that are in the Milwaukee area, one in St. Francis, one in Oak Creek, and another one right in Milwaukee near 24th and Hampton. And what they do is they take in these chemical totes, and what happens is the companies that are shipping these containers to be recycled will sometimes leave chemical waste sloshing in the bottom. They're supposed to send barrels that are empty to be cleaned and refurbished, but they end up sending stuff that has remains in the bottom, and often they're not labeled. So the workers that are taking these things off the trucks on the docks don't know what kind of chemicals they're dealing with, and often they're hazardous. And what they do is they pour them off into a single container. So they'll drain off something from one barrel into another, and not knowing what they're mixing, and so they're creating all these chemical reactions that create toxic fumes, and in some cases have the drums explode, and they killed one worker a long time ago in Milwaukee, but they've had a lot of near misses since then. And in addition, the workers get chemical burns that are just horrendous. I mean, these things, the chemicals will eat through their skin, and it's just a very dangerous environment.
So if I'm working at a place like this, one of these, I think they call them heavies, shows up. It's heavier than it should because it has liquid chemicals in it that it shouldn't. It shows up. I don't know. I may or may not know what it is. I dump it into another barrel that has other chemicals. I may not know what they are. I mean, I took chemistry back in high school. This sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Exactly, exactly. And what's really interesting about this is that we had a whistleblower come forward, a person who works in the safety risk management industry, and he was in these plants around Milwaukee and also in Indianapolis, Memphis, and in Arkansas, and he was working with one of the company's safety managers, and talking about understanding the different things that are going on there. And the safety manager of the company was worried. He said, these things could blow up and kill eight people in a heartbeat. I mean, the company safety manager knew the risks of what was going on in these plants and was trying to get some things sorted out and trying to get improvements made, but the executives weren't really paying much attention to him. So then we had, so the safety consultant blew the whistle and came to us with 16 hours of audio recordings that he had secretly recorded while he was in these plants talking to the workers and talking to the managers, et cetera.
And when these barrels show up with stuff in them, as I understand it from your reporting, if I'm at that company, I'm supposed to say, no, take it back. I'm not supposed to even accept this.
That's right. And the workers that we interviewed said that doesn't happen. I mean, on occasion it might happen, but by practice they take them because, they're some of their biggest customers that are sending this stuff, and they don't want to lose those contracts. And so often, most of the time, they will just typically process them, take them, and deal with it.
And then what do they do with the chemicals, this stew of chemicals in a barrel? Where do they go?
Yeah, well, so they get sent out. They get drummed up. So that's they put a cap on those drums, and those are the ones sometimes that explode and have reactions. But then they send them out. They get picked up and hauled off and sent out as non-hazardous waste to landfills.
And in some cases, these are chemicals that would be categorized as hazardous waste?
In some cases, yes.
Talking to Raquel Rutledge from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, she co-wrote a series titled Burned on the industry. This is in Milwaukee area and elsewhere that refurbishes big 55-gallon steel drums that carries chemicals and what happens to the chemicals, the workers, and the communities. And Raquel, you've written about also written about neighborhoods, talking about what they're seeing and smelling from these facilities. What did you find?
Yeah, well, they have experienced, I don't think they're necessarily the neighborhood, the people in the neighborhoods aren't necessarily aware of what's going on, but they have known, they have complained over the years about odors and things coming from these plants. And the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, and the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District has records showing that they've exceeded their limits for emissions of mercury and for volatile organic compounds, et cetera. But a lot of times I think what happens is people don't know. I mean, there was one case when they mixed something together in one of the drums and it just created this horrendous black cloud that was blown out into the neighborhood for 20 minutes. One of the safety managers was describing what happened, and the workers say they have to clear out of the building and stay outside for at least 30 minutes. And they said the other thing they do sometimes is put the drums outside of the plant to just evaporate into the air. They call them stinkers. And when they put those stinkers out, uncap them, and let them evaporate into the air, which can be problematic as well.
And you also wrote that in some cases, these companies, if they know they're doing something that will involve a lot of black smoke, they'll make sure they do it before sunup.
That's what one of the workers in Arkansas said they did early, before dawn, process the awful stuff. And there, we had some documentation as well that workers were telling one of the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration inspector that came to one of the plants in Arkansas. They interviewed some workers there, and they were telling him that, when you guys come in, we have a whole set of clean drums that we are ready to process, and we have another trailer where we hide the dirty stuff that we know we're not supposed to be doing. The supervisors have told them to do that. So that was documented in some of the OSHA reports as well.
Have there been fines or other regulatory actions against businesses in the Milwaukee area or others?
Not huge. I mean, MMSD said they told me, hey, we're not in the business of fining these companies. We're trying to get them to comply. So, and they're nominal for the most part. The plant in Indianapolis was OSHA did propose a $300,000 fine, which was fairly significant, but they negotiated down to $100,000, and that was, for many, many violations. But so, no, typically not. Typically, they're very small. They get issued warnings after warning after warning, but not a lot of teeth in those warnings.
What did you hear from people in the industry?
From people in the industry? I mean,
in the refurbishing industry, yeah. I mean, the management and ownership.
They say that's not what they do. They said they have a policy of not doing that, and that they did acknowledge that they had some problems in these plants. I mean, they couldn't deny it. We had 16 hours of their own safety manager outlining everything that they were doing wrong. So they had a hard time kind of denying it. But what they did say is, hey, that was, back in, late last year, they fixed this stuff up. And so they've made some improvements, and they're looking at automating some of the processes to protect the workers. And they deny pouring, some of the chemical wash down the floor drain. They deny a bunch of the stuff and say they fixed the other stuff that was a problem.
Yeah, you mentioned the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District. Are these chemicals in some cases, from what you've heard from people who've worked at these places, just dumped down the drain?
Yeah, one of the Milwaukee plants, we heard it from worker after worker who said that's what they do. Now, they weren't just dumping the chemicals directly from the drums down the drain, but they would pour them off into the collection drum, and then when they were washing the totes, and they would use caustic stuff to wash, sometimes just water, but whatever residue was left in those drums, that was being washed down the drain. So that was from the safety manager said that, as well as other workers that worked there.
Since you've put out this report, have you heard anything from people in the Milwaukee area with the city or otherwise looking to investigate, crack down if need be?
Yeah, and I mean, the city has, I guess, been out there twice since we started inquiring. So we started asking the company about what was going on back in December. We gave them plenty of notice that we were looking into this and gave them plenty of opportunity to respond and tell us and show us, hey, what do you actually do in there? We wanted to be extremely fair and get, you know, to get to the bottom of the truth of what was going on. But so since then, yes, I guess the city has been out a couple of times, hasn't found an immediate danger. So I'm suspecting that they have straightened up some of the stuff that they're doing, but I don't know that they've, you know, certainly been able to address all the issues because kind of their practices are inherently unsafe the way they've been doing things.
You've heard from workers at these plants. You've seen, as you mentioned, OSHA reports. Are the people working there worried about their health and well-being?
Very much so. I mean, when you look, I don't know if you saw some of the pictures, but when you see, you know, it's easy to think, oh, you know, a chemical burn or, you know, imagine what a burn looks like. But when you see some of the photos of some of these injuries, I mean, they are horrendous. Those workers are terrified. And one of the workers I talked to in Arkansas said every time, every day before his shift and during his shift, he just prayed. He just, you know, prayed that nothing terrible would happen to him. Because every day after day, they would see people get burned. Because some of the places have furnaces where they burn off the chemicals with the steel drums. And they'd have flashback fires, and people had their faces burned. The chemical burns, one guy from his knee to his ankle, I mean, his whole leg, all the skin on his leg was just eaten away. I mean, these are serious injuries. People had been splashed in the eyes with hydrochloric acid. I mean, just nasty stuff.
We'll leave it there for now. Raquel, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
That's Raquel Rutledge, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us to talk about the investigative piece she reported on called Burned. It looks at the industry surrounding refurbishing chemical barrels and the dangers the drums and their contents can pose.
Coming up after the news, we'll look at the reasons why we underprepare for disasters and what, if anything, can be done to change that. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.